Hi, everyone. Welcome again to English Digest. I'm Bill.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today, we are continuing a science unit here called The Subconscious. It's all in your head. Yesterday, we introduced this idea that the things that are in your environment can actually affect the way you think and make decisions. We talked about how you're walking down the street and you see the golden arches, you smell the smell of French fries in oil. That can make you think, ooh, I want some McDonald's. We also talked about that fascinating study that psychologists did that actually showed how a thing that happens to you, an event that happens, can actually have an effect on your perception of a person's personality.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And then Bill mentioned how just meeting people in different types of environments can influence how you feel about them. So if you meet someone in a place where you're particularly uncomfortable, maybe it's really cold there, and you meet this new person, you might walk away thinking, oh, they're okay. I don't think I really want to, you know, do anything with them in the future. But if you're in a fun place where there's some loud music and it's warm and you're having a good time, you might walk away with a better impression of that person.
Right. And today we're going to look more at the scientific reasons that this may happen. So we'll kind of look at how these research projects that look at how the subconscious affects your conscious choices, the information that they've come up with as we continue this science unit. Let's get right into it then. We'll start our show off, as we often do, by reading the whole article for you.
Scientists refer to what happened in the coffee study as priming. When your subconscious is primed, everyday sights, smells, sounds, and touches can stimulate the subconscious mind to affect your actions in all sorts of ways. So, seeing a briefcase might make you more competitive, or seeing the word support might make you more cooperative. In 2005, Dutch psychologists had undergraduate students sit in a room and fill out a form. In some cases, the room smelled of cleaning fluid. After finishing the form, all of the students were given a crumbly snack. Those who smelled the cleaning solution cleared away the crumbs 3 times more often than those who did not. That is a huge increase in cleanliness. These studies don't imply that our conscious minds are powerless against the subconscious. However, they do prove that our conscious minds can be greatly influenced by our subconscious. So, the next time you get a craving for an unhealthy snack or feel like you need to buy something expensive, take a look around. See if you can spot anything that might be secretly priming your subconscious mind.
Okay, so here's the science behind this idea that we've been looking at about how the subconscious can affect the way you make choices and do things. See, scientists refer to what happened in the coffee study that we talked about yesterday as priming. So what happened in that study is called priming. They refer to this idea, this concept, this event as priming. When you refer to something as something, it just means that you call it this. That's kind of the name that you give it. And it makes sense here to refer to the things that happened, the particular strange thing that people were affected by the temperature of the coffee, to refer to it as priming. Because the word to prime kind of means to get ready, right?
It does. It's to make somebody or something ready for something else. You want to prepare it. Now, you could prepare somebody for a situation so they know what to do. For example, sometimes you'll hear someone say, I'm going to prime you for your job interview. So they'll sit down and go over interview questions to help you prepare for the real thing, when you actually have your real job interview. So scientists refer what happened in that hallway with the lab assistant as priming, when that lab assistant decided to either give these participants a hot cup of coffee or a cold cup, and how it affected their later judgment of that fictional character. Now, remember, to prime is to get something ready for something else. It doesn't have to be a person. It can be an engine you want to prime.
Right. It can even be your subconscious, though, which is kind of where this idea is going. because when your subconscious is primed, everyday sights, smells, sounds, and touches can actually stimulate the subconscious mind to affect your actions in all sorts of ways. Ah, so your subconscious mind, again, the part of your mind that you're not actively, consciously using, but it's still there. It still affects the way you do things and make decisions. Well, you can stimulate that part of your mind using these everyday things. Everyday just means you will experience this normally in the course of one day, of every day of your life. The things you see, the sights, the things you smell, the sounds you hear, the things that actually touch you, the way they feel, all of these things can stimulate your subconscious mind, and it stimulates your subconscious mind in a way that affects your actions and affects your decisions. The word stimulate just means to kind of spark a change, to start something. It's like it kind of causes something to happen in your subconscious mind. So these different things, the things you, again, see, smell, hear, and feel, they can cause some kind of change in the way your subconscious mind is thinking about what's happening around you. And then that can cause a change in the way that you take action and make choices.
Mm-hmm. So here's an example. Just by seeing a briefcase, this might make someone more competitive. A briefcase is that flat case that business people carry around with them from work to home, from home to work. It includes things like their important papers and documents that they need at their job. Just seeing one of these, a briefcase alone, could make someone more competitive. If you're competitive, it means you're really determined to be more successful than others around you. Maybe that's because people who go to work are always trying to improve. They want to get those raises, have an increased salary, have a more important job. So that might make them more competitive just to see that symbol of doing business and being a professional in the professional world. Here's another example. Maybe you just see the word support, and that affects you this way. It makes you want to be more cooperative.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how even words can have that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're working with a group, and in the group, there's a little poster over on the wall, and it says something about how, you know, even all trees need support to stand tall and proud, or just some silly poster mm-hmm. with a silly thing. But the word support makes you think of things that hold up other things. That makes you more cooperative, because when you cooperate, it means that you work together with other people for a common goal. And the idea is that by cooperating, you'll get to that goal more quickly. You'll do it more efficiently. In fact, you'll do a better job together than you would have done separately. Often a lot of people will say, the whole will be greater than the sum of the parts. So the whole idea is there's two of you working. Now, if you both worked on it separately, it would take like 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
so it takes me 10, takes you 10. But together, it doesn't take us 5, half as long, it takes us 4, right? So it's even better when we cooperate. And being cooperative, well, that's just the adjective form of doing this thing, of cooperating with someone, and maybe even being willing to cooperate.
Now, we have another experiment we want to share with you about the subconscious. Now, in 2005, there were some Dutch psychologists who had undergraduate students sit in this room, and they asked them to fill out a form. Again, if you're a psychologist, you're a type of doctor who works with the mind, who studies people's behavior. So they're looking to see what these graduate students are going to do in their own experiment. Of course, they don't tell them what they're doing. They want to see how these students will react naturally. So if you're an undergrad or an undergraduate student, you're someone who's in college, you're working on your bachelor's degree, so you could either be a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, or a senior. So there they are, and they're sitting in a room, and they've been asked to fill out a form. When you fill something out, you write down information on a document. That's what that form is. Now, in some cases, but not all, the room smelled of cleaning fluid. So they had put a lot of cleaning fluid somewhere in the room or had used it before the student sat down. So there was a really strong smell. You know, cleaning fluid? It's nice to get things clean, but that fluid usually is very strong smelling. Fluid is another word for liquid. And again, this is a kind of liquid like bleach that you use to get things very, very clean.
Okay, so is that going to do? How is it going to have an effect on people? Well, the room smelled of cleaning fluid. All of these people were filling out a form. But then after finishing the form, they were all given a crumbly snack. Ah, so they said, hey, thanks for helping. We wanted to show our appreciation by giving you this cookie or this cracker.
Or a piece of cake.
Piece of bread. Something that's crumbly. It's a great word because a crumb is a small piece that falls off of a larger thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that, you know, it's small. It usually doesn't have a well-defined shape. And you can get big crumbs, small crumbs. So if a thing is crumbly, like a cake or a cracker or a cookie, it often will do this as you eat it. Little bits and pieces, crumbs will fall off. Okay, keep that in mind. These students are all given a crumbly snack. I'm kind of in the mood for a crumbly snack myself right now.
Me too.
Yeah, so maybe what we should do is take a moment here for some Chinese explanation.
I know.
Okay, here's some Chinese explanation on the first part of our story.
Hi everyone, this is Jenny. 我们看第一段。Scientists refer to what happened in the coffee study as priming. 我们要先看 refer to 这个片语。当你说指称指什么，我们会用 refer to 来表示。后面这里有一个 priming, prime, P-R-I-M-E。原来是一个形容词，代表主要的。比如说我们讲 the prime minister, 最重要的一个部长就是首相。另外呢 prime 也可以当动词，这一句话的用法当中就是动词的用法。它的解释上呢是表示让一个人或一个事准备好可以来做另外一件事或一个动作。所以 priming 我们在这里可以翻成触发。我们来看看到底这个研究是什么。When your subconscious is primed, everyday sights, smells, sounds, and touches can stimulate the subconscious mind to affect your actions in all sorts of ways. 这句非常的长，当然我们知道它指的是你的下意识、潜意识，当你被准备好、被触发、被激发好之后呢，每一件每天所看到的、所听到的、所闻到的、所接触到的，都可能会刺激到你的潜意识的心智，来影响你的行为。好，我们再往下看。So, seeing a briefcase might make you more competitive. 那么这是一个例子，就是如果你看到的是一个公事包，那这个行为呢，可能会让你变得比较有竞争力。Or seeing the word support might make you more cooperative. 这个字呢 cooperative 就是合作的，让你变得更为能够跟别人合作。再往下，下一段。In 2005, Dutch psychologists had undergraduate students sit in a room and fill out a form. 那么在2005年的时候呢，有些荷兰的心理学家，他们 had, 这是一个实义动词，后面接 undergraduate students, 也就是大学生当受词。受词后面这个动作要用原形动词 sit, S-I-T。我们看一下 undergraduate 这个字。我们知道 graduate student 代表的是研究所的学生。graduate 前面加 under, 就变成了 undergraduate, 指的就是大学生。那我们看后面他说让这些大学生坐在哪里呢，坐在一个房间里，然后 fill out a form。Fill out 是代表填表格，我们填表格还有一个讲法是 fill in a form。 下一句 In some cases, the room smelled of cleaning fluid. Smelled 后面加 of 就是表示闻起来有什么味道，什么味道呢？ Cleaning fluid 有清洁液的味道。 After finishing the form, all of the students were given a crumbly snack.Crumbly 是代表酥皮的，容易掉屑屑的。它的名词是 crumb, 也就是面包屑。
Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be right back with more English Digest.
Welcome back to English Digest, listeners. This is Stephanie. I'm here with Bill, and we're on day two of our science unit called The Subconscious. It's all in your head. Well, sometimes there are some things going on in our subconscious that we're not really aware of. We've been talking about some interesting experiments that scientists have been doing to study our subconscious and the impact or influence it has on our conscious mind, how it affects our actions. Now, when we left you, we were talking about an experiment done in 2005 where some Dutch psychologists had some undergraduate students sit in a room and fill out a form. Now, in some cases, but not all, the room was smelling like cleaning fluid. Now, after finishing the form, the students were given a treat, kind of a thank you gift. They were given a crumbly snack. Well, we're going to continue to find out what difference there was between the kids that filled out the form with the cleaning fluid smell in there and those that didn't have the cleaning fluid smell.
Right. Those who had smelled the cleaning solution, they actually cleared away the crumbs 3 times more often than those who did not. So funny. I mean, think about it. You're in a classroom. You have done these forms. Mm-hmm. Now you're eating a crumbly snack. Well, most people would think, oh, I should clean up if I drop some crumbs, right? It's a classroom. It's not your house. You can't just drop crumbs anywhere in the classroom.
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't, anyway. And so most of them would clear away the crumbs. To clear away just means to kind of take all the garbage away. You push it off to the side so you can collect it and then throw it away. We often use this phrase when we're talking about clearing away the dishes after dinner. You clear it away from the table. So they would clear away the crumbs. They all did it, or most of them did it. But if you smelled the cleaning fluid, you did it 3 times more often. So you were really careful about cleaning.
Yeah.
More of them did it. More of them worked harder at clearing away the crumbs.
It was almost like that smell really stayed with them and they just got into this cleaning mode where they just wanted to clean. But they weren't aware of it because it was in their subconscious mind. So that's a huge increase in cleanliness. When you use that word cleanliness, you're talking about the practice of keeping yourself clean and keeping things around you clean. What do you think about cleanliness, Bill?
Well, I think it's important. I mean, 3 times as likely or 3 times more often clearing away the crumbs. That is a huge increase in cleanliness. Now, let's wrap things up here in this last paragraph. So all of these things definitely mean that there's no point trying to make your own decisions. Everything around you controls your mind.
Oh, that's not true. In fact, it's the opposite. These studies don't imply that. They don't imply or suggest that this is true. When you imply something, you suggest something's true, but you don't say it directly. You just give this hint. You kind of put that idea out there. These studies don't imply that our conscious minds are powerless against the subconscious, that our subconscious is somehow controlling our actions. No, but it does have some influence.
It sure does. And we've seen that over the past 2 days with all of these studies that they've done on the subconscious mind. So they do prove that our conscious minds can be greatly influenced by our subconscious. Now, when you influence something, it kind of means you have an effect on the decisions that thing makes, on the outcome of that event or process, just means that you have an effect. So if all of these things can influence your subconscious, or if your conscious minds can be influenced by your subconscious, that just means we're talking about effect. These things in your environment can influence your subconscious mind. Then in turn, your subconscious mind can influence or have an effect on your decision-making, on your conscious mind.
Well, truthfully, they're both working together, aren't they? You know, our subconscious is always busy. It has feelings, it has thoughts, and we're not always aware of them, but they somehow filter over into our conscious mind. So the two of them are always working together. I'm sure of that.
I'm sure that's true, too. I mean, it has to be because it's all a part of your mind. But it does show one thing we haven't talked much about is that it shows that it's very important to be aware of these things And I personally think that's one of the definitions of what maturity is, right? I mean, as you become older, as you get more mature, you become better able, both because you actively think about it and because you just have more experience, to begin to figure out when you're being affected by things in your environment as opposed to the real things you need to make a decision. So as you get older, as you get more mature, you start to learn to not make decisions as quickly based on the things that are around you. Or at least we hope so, right?
Yeah, you want to take a little bit of time before you make those quick judgments, especially if you're aware that you're really not in a good mood. You know, one of the industries that really uses this power of the subconscious is the advertising industry. And you need to be aware of what you're watching on TV in those commercials, how they're trying to sell you those products and convince you that you can't live without them.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's very interesting about that is this whole way of thinking by advertisers, someone's subconscious mind to be more receptive mm-hmm. to the things you want to say. So you can train people to unconsciously, there's another word there, unconscious without really actively making the decision because it's their subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
You can train them to unconsciously make decisions. Good thing is, though, you can do the reverse training. You can train your subconscious to not make a decision so quickly. You can even train your subconscious to think, wait a second, I should tell the conscious mind, hey, wake up, make sure you think about this before you make a decision. And that's kind of what our last couple sentences are all about here.
Yeah, a little bit of advice for you. The next time you get this craving for an unhealthy snack, or you feel like you just have to buy something that's really expensive, you'd better take a look around. See what's influencing your subconscious. Now, a craving is a really strong desire to have something, to eat something, to do something. I get big cravings for my favorite kinds of foods, especially those unhealthy snacks, things that aren't really good for you, that maybe are too fattening and make you gain some weight. So if you get these cravings or you want to do something or maybe even you get this big strong urge to yell at someone you love, you need to take a little bit of time.
Right. Take a look around. Make sure that there isn't anything that's affecting the way you make your decision. See if you can spot anything that might be secretly priming your subconscious mind.
Ah.
Yeah, there's that word.
Yeah, it sure is. It's right there, priming. I wanted to take a second, though, to look at the word spot. If you spot something, you notice something that's not always easy to see. It's maybe a little bit hidden. You have to take an extra look. So you'd better be careful when you take that look around you. You want to see if anything's secretly or without your knowledge priming your subconscious mind, getting your subconscious to do something and feed thoughts to your subconscious that makes you act in a way that you wouldn't normally want to act.
Right, and that's actually the last part of what you said, I think, is one of the most important things to take away from this kind of a lesson, from the things we can learn by this kind of psychology study. Okay, let's hear some Chinese explanation on the second part of today's story.
Those who smelled the cleaning solution cleared away the crumbs 3 times more often than those who did not. 我们要注意到这里有个用法 ,3 times 是次数。当你要讲多出几次，比什么要多出一个量的时候，我们是在量词或者是次数这些数词后面再加比较级。比如说，当你讲 The crop produced this year is a quarter more than last year， 也就是今年呢，这个农作物呢的产量比去年要多出四分之一来。那如果是多两倍呢 ？Twice more than last year。这边 three times 是次数。后面的比较级是 more， 比什么？比那些没有闻到这种清洁剂味道的人，他们清洁那个面包屑的次数要多出3次来。That is a huge increase in cleanliness. 我们接下来要看最后一段。These studies don't imply that our conscious minds are powerless against the subconscious. Imply 代表暗示，暗示什么呢？我们的有意识的心智反应 conscious mind 是怎么呢？是没有力量的，完全无招架之力的，对什么而言，相对于 the subconscious 相对于潜意识来说是毫无招架之力的。当然这些研究并不是这样的意思。我们再往下看。
However, they do prove that our conscious minds can be greatly influenced by our subconscious.
这句当中在 prove 之前有个 do, 这是一个强调的用法。就是这些科学实验的的确确是证明我们的所谓的有意识的心智反应事实上是能够被我们的潜意识影响的。再来
So the next time you get a craving for an unhealthy snack or feel like you need to buy something expensive, take a look around.
这边有个字是 craving,Craving 代表的是 a strong desire, 也就是强烈的渴望。当你很想去做、很想去买这种不健康食物的时候，或者是你觉得想买一些很贵很贵的东西的时候，记得往周遭看一下。
See if you can spot anything that might be secretly priming your subconscious mind.
Spot, 这个是个动词，代表发现、找到、看到，看看你能不能找到有什么东西让你的潜意识发生作用。
You know, Stephanie, there's a lot of ways to influence a person's subconscious mind.
Yeah, and you know a lot of them.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for joining us here, listeners, with this science unit.And you will come back for our next lesson.
Okay.
You will come back.
Yes.
Okay. You will. A little bit of subconscious priming. No, really. Do join us for our next English Digest unit. Until then, I'm Bill.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.